Good morning, brethren. Scripture reading this morning will be taken from Isaiah chapter 10. I'll be reading verses 33 through the 10th verse of chapter 11. Beginning again, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 33. Behold, the Lord, the God of hosts, will pop off the boughs with a terrible crash. Those also who are tall in stature will be cut down, and those who are lofty will be abased. He will cut down the thickets of the forest with an iron axe, and Lebanon will fall by the mighty one. Then a shoot will spring from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor, and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. He will strike the earth with a rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. And the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little boy will lead them. Also the cow and the bear will graze, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra. The weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and as the waters cover the sea. Then in that day, the nations will resort to the root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal for the people, and his resting place will be glorious.
I apologize for the images. They're usually a lot more vibrant, but this is I'm using a new computer, so there must be some mix-up there between that and projector. So, but hopefully you can make that out. That's a stunt. Some are new here, so you might not remember my grandfather, but for the most part, I think most people in this room do. And out of the many things you could probably remember about him, I mean, he was quite the character after all, so there's a lot that one could say. But one thing about him was that he had a constant concern for his yard. It had to look a particular way, the grass had to be cut a particular way, no clutter around either of his garages. Everything just had to be, you know, spick and span. And he took great pride in that, making sure his yard and his house looked really, really good. One particular moment sticks out in my mind. This happened, I don't know how many years ago, when there was, from what I understand, this large maple tree that was in his front yard. And basically, it got so big, I think, if I was told right, that it was interfering kind of with the power line, and so, you know, this is going to be a big hassle. So they decided to cut it down, and so he got some people in there. I think Frank McVay, his brother-in-law, was one, and some others to cut it down. But the thing was, after it got cut down, it got chopped up and hauled away, like you would expect, there was still a stump. And because it was a bigger tree, you know, there was a pretty big stump left behind. But because he wanted to throw artificial away, I guess. He decided to get rid of the stump, too. He didn't even want that in his yard. And so, I have some pictures here, and again, this might not be the best because of the image quality, but here he is with that stump. And day in, day out, I think over the span of like 2 or 3 weeks, he would just go at that thing, chopping away, digging away, trying to pick it out of there. Here's some more. There he is. My grandma said that he'd be out there so long, he would come in, you know, sometimes twice a day to shower, get, you know, change his clothes. But anyway, so this was his son. I think the hole got so big when he was digging it out that he literally had to use his chair. And here's the chair where he had to put it down in so he could get down in the hole, and then had to use it to get on out. And so after a while, you know, he was finally able to dig it up. Finally had to pull it out with his truck. I hope you can kind of see some of those. And lo and behold, you know, he was able to get that out of there. And, you know, he just, you know, had that to have that stump out of the yard. And there's more pictures, but that was kind of just one of the prime examples of the pride he took in his lawn work, I guess. But when you think of a stump, it's really dead. I mean, there's really no life left to it. Again, this was a big stump because it was a big tree. Here in Isaiah, if I can get back to my PowerPoint. Here in Isaiah, chapter 11, Isaiah pictures a stump. Again, just a dead stump. But out of this stump, he sees a new beginning. He sees the ability for God to bring life out of death. Like many prophetic images and allusions, this stump that Isaiah envisions represents a reality for the people of God. A reality that represents devastation. In a way, what they had to look at was a stump, not some lofty, beautiful tree. Throughout the book of Isaiah, as Isaiah gives all these prophecies and all these proclamations, he does so in an age of terror, preaching in a time where there is little hope, but much injustice. A time of oppression. Not only oppression by outside forces like Assyria and Babylon, but oppression from within. Their own officials and their own rulers, their own religious leaders, were responsible for that oppression. And so Isaiah envisions a stump. A stump that is all that remains from their history. All that remains from all the destruction brought upon them. Now, again, as I referenced, this destruction comes from a number of things. If you read through the book of Isaiah, you have their sister nation, if you will, northern Israel, who joined forces with Syria, and so they were putting pressure on Judah. And really, a lot of Isaiah, because he was a prophet from the south, has to do with Judah. So Isaiah prophesied to a people that had people from really every side, geographically, that were trying to oppress them and destroy them. Because Judah wouldn't support Israel in her fight against Syria, they saw Judah as an equal foe. And so some of Isaiah's prophecies speak of that. Others, though, later in Judah's history, would speak against Assyria themselves attacking Judah. And so in 701, when you have the emperor Sennacherib coming against Judah. No doubt, when you read chapter 10, which a small portion of what Nick read for us comes from chapter 10, chapter 10 speaks of Assyria attacking, but also probably has references to northern Israel attacking them. Isaiah sees them as lofty trees, tall trees, compared to the small stump that Judah is. At first, of course, Judah was able to stay on the terms of Assyria, but later on, would have to face their attack. A few years pass by, and so then you have Babylon, the next nation, oppressing them. And so you have to be kind of careful when you read Isaiah, because all these different prophecies of all these different threats of destruction come from different people, different times. And so chapter 10, I guess, could be from a number of different settings. But if you even look earlier in the book, this destruction and this devastation is foretold even before then. God warns of impending destruction upon Judah when he says in chapter 6, "Until cities lie waste without inhabitants, and houses without people, and the land is utterly desolate, until the Lord sends everyone far away. And the vast is the emptiness in the midst of the land." And then listen to this. When God says, "Even if a tenth part remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains standing when it is felled." But he also includes hope. The holy seed, verse 13, is the stump. Somehow, some way, God would bring new hope and new life out of the stump. And so, in chapter 11, in the midst of these conflicts and this destruction, Isaiah prophesies of a shoot coming out of the stump of Jesse, and its branch growing out of his roots. Now, Jesse was David's father, and so, in a way, he represented that whole Davidic kingdom. King after king laid claim to that family tree. And so you have, for example, this is an example of early Christian iconography. I think it's from a cathedral from the 1400s. And basically, the stump of Jesse became an art form, and it's still represented much so today. And so basically, you have Jesse there at the bottom, he's asleep, and out of him is coming this tree, popularly known as the Jesse tree. And the guy on the throne, that's probably Isaiah, and you see his scroll, you know, he's pointing at it, the scroll of Isaiah, no doubt, you know, this chapter 11. And so you have all these people from the family tree, and at the top, that would be Mary with the baby Jesus in her hand. And so you have all kinds of stained glass and artistic renditions of this Jesse tree, all coming from Isaiah chapter 11. Who knew such a stump could provide so much hope and so much imagination? But here it is. Again, when we get to chapter 10, there's devastation. The enemy, whoever he is, invades Judah and threatens not only their safety, but their government and their religion. They literally shake their fist at God or some other obscene gesture, chapter 10, verse 32, at Mount Zion, which is God's holy place, where God dwells. Although one would think God has traded Israel and Judah for Assyria and Babylon, God says he will not allow this to be the end. But in chapter 10, again referenced verse 33 and 34, which was read, God will cut them down, like the tallest trees, not allowing their disparagement of God to be the final word. From all this terror and all this injustice, only mere ruins remain. Isaiah pictures Israel like a burning forest, leaving behind only a ravaged land, but with a stump. Now, Isaiah does not offer an image of some western field with beautiful trees and beautiful flowers and a clear blue sky. No. God, he said, offers a stump. Again, a stump. Out of a dead tree that has fallen, rotted, and been forgotten, God brings forth something new, something beautiful, something that will last. What might it look like for us today? What might it look like for God to bring new life out of our stump? Are we our own individual stump, beaten down by life, fire ravaging through our life, whatever image you might want to use. But what does it look like for God to bring new life out of our stump? Whether that stump represents selfishness, brokenness, or division. What might it look like for God to bring generosity out of our selfishness, faith out of our doubt, and courage out of our insecurity? May I submit that it might look something like what Isaiah pictures. As the truth comes out from the stump of Jesse, he continues by saying that a new ruler, a new Davidic ruler, will arise. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. All these charismatic qualities will characterize who he is. Out of this stump comes a new God-ordained ruler, filled with the fear of God and his Spirit. A ruler who will judge with righteousness and complete equity, endowed, again, with these qualities that are fit for a king, leading Israel into what Isaiah envisions as a new period of restoration and renewal. Again, I showed you the Jesse Tree art form, and it really captures kind of what we know from Israel's history. When you remember David, the first quote-unquote Davidic king, anointed by Samuel, anointed with God's Spirit, literally inspired with God's Spirit, rested upon him. And so, like it did David, so it will do this new ruler. With these six qualities conferred by the Spirit, wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and fear of God. Knowledge here is not some general spiritual or biblical knowledge, not any intellectual ability, but it's knowing God personally. Knowing who God is in a personal way means that you cannot separate who he is from who we are and how we live. And these abilities that Isaiah lists ultimately culminate in the fear of Yahweh, fear of God, which is the mark of a pious individual, one with socially responsible behavior rooted in reverence for God. But not only that, his delight will be in the fear of the Lord, yes, but continuing with righteousness, he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. This ruler, whoever he is, Isaiah doesn't name him, will judge and lead not by his own faculties and abilities, not, in other words, by what he can see, touch, taste, or feel, but he will rule with righteousness, filling the land and the entire earth, for that matter, with the knowledge of God. In verse 5, righteousness will be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. Literally, the picture of a belt around him, representing righteousness, centered by righteousness. This king will inaugurate a new age of perfect peace, harmony, and equity. A peaceable kingdom, of course. Now, I think it's important to notice that this new messianic age won't necessarily be perfect, at least not at first. Read the chapter. Some people will still be poor, others still ruthless, and even others still wicked. The difference, though, from the current age, again, Isaiah's current age, will lie rather in the king's response to these problems. He will not be selfish. He will not be crude. He will not be irresponsible. And so, no doubt, through the Jesse Tree, through other things, Christians have imagined that Isaiah speaks not of this any Davidic ruler, but of the Davidic ruler, that is, Jesus. Jesus who comes and establishes a peaceable kingdom, not characterized by war and theft and injustice, but by equity and peace. In addition, though, to this reestablishment of David's kingdom, ultimately again through Jesus, Isaiah proclaims what he sees here as another vision, one in which the living conditions and ecology of paradise, again, in Genesis, there was a perfect garden with perfect environmental qualities, and so that the vision that Isaiah sees here. One in which prey and predator, instead of eating each other, are tame and able to live at peace. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf with the lion, the child shall lead them, the cow and the bear, they even get along. The lion and the ox, they're good friends, and the child can play over the hole of a snake. That kind of vision is what Isaiah sees, something that is unheard of, unimaginable, but Isaiah proclaims it. Prey and predator, once enemies, able to live at peace. A point in time ruled by this new figure where there will be an end to abuse and an end to suffering. But is this future reality just a nice metaphor, something nice to think about, paint pretty pictures, or can it be real to us even today? Now, no doubt, as I said, it's kind of in transition. We don't see this with our eyes, but we believe that God is bringing it to pass, where there will one day be this complete peace, where there will be no more destruction, no more chaos, none of that. But even with that future component, how might this speak to us today? How might we imagine this? Are we all lambs and goats and calves? Do we all get along? Or are some of us wolves and leopards and lions? In other words, are there people in this church that we treat as predators? People that make us keep one eye open during the prayers, and those whom we keep at least a 5 feet distance with? Or do we let one's history of mistakes, violence, and harsh words keep us from enjoying what Isaiah speaks about as this peaceable, equitable pastor? Will we let our guard down? A lamb letting down its guard in the presence of a wolf, or a cow resting peacefully in the meadow of lions and bears, children playing over the holes of vipers. We might say, how reckless, how inexcusable, you just can't live like that. And yet this is what Isaiah pictures for us even today, that we might be called to live at peace here. But not only is this for us as Christians, and again, more so, I mean, this was by a Jewish prophet for a Jewish people. Because of that, we might think, well, it was only for them. But no. In verse 10, using this language of Isaiah often does in the latter days, on that last day, he says, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the people. The nations will inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Now this gets picked up by Paul, I think in Romans 15, I didn't write it down, where Paul sees Gentiles and Jews coming together in this one body. And this, in a nutshell, is what Isaiah prophesies about. The reemergence of David's kingdom by means of a new ruler, and the inauguration of an age of unprecedented peace. But it will also include Gentiles. In other words, it's for everyone. This stump of Jesse, which once for the Jewish people represented just a symbol of their devastation, their destruction, their defeat, now Isaiah uses it as a sign of their future prosperity, where they can live at peace with all people. Isaiah chapter 2 speaks of this. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up swords against nations. Through a stump. could promise so much peace, give so much prosperity, and inspire such a sense of hope. If you're here this morning and you're intrigued by this, you would like to talk more, or we could pray for you or help you in any way. Again, this is an image of a stump for everyone. No matter what your life has been like, no matter what characteristics, no matter how negative they might be, it doesn't matter, because this stump represents hope for everyone. And so we invite you with this song to respond in any way that you may need. As a stand.